The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Morning, Pat.
You want to talk about dahlias?
Yeah, and on the topic of Donegal, there is a dahlia that's actually been named for a gardener in Donegal up in Glenveagh Castle, believe it or not.
Okay. Dahlia, yeah. I always regarded them as kind of old-fashioned flowers.
Well, yeah, and they are, and everyone has that idea, you know, of, oh, their grandparents had them in the garden, and they're these things that are kind of fussy and difficult to grow. But actually, they're kind of going under, or undergoing a renaissance at the moment. People are really starting to, you know, grow them, realizing that they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, and they've really become popular again. And if you go onto, you know, lots of gardeners' Instagram accounts now, they're everywhere, and especially this time of the year, they're at their absolute best.
Mm, there are loads of species of them. And where do they come from? We imported them, I presume.
Yeah, like lots of things, you know, they're not certainly not native to here. South America and Mexico in particular, that's where they started off. And they're actually were grown there as a food crop, still are. The Aztecs used to grow them as quite an important food crop. But you can still eat them, and there are people who will eat them. I think the ones we cultivate now, because like lots of things, we've bred them to become, you know, these beautiful flowers. They're not really particularly edible anymore, but they now are a lovely flowering plant in our garden. But yeah, that's where they started off their life. And as a result of that, they're not bone hardy here in our gardens, which is something you have to be aware of, I guess.
Now, is it true that diabetics used to use some part of the dahlia before insulin was discovered?
Yeah, it was called Atlantic starch. It was actually an alkaloid that was extracted, I think, from the dahlia tubers. Obviously, it wasn't as, you know, successful or as good as insulin. But I suppose in the early days of medicine, that's what they did use. And it worked. You know, an awful lot of our medicines are derived from plants. There's so many examples of that. You know, the yew tree that we all may know, that's used in breast cancer treatment. So many things like that. Aspirin is a willow tree. You know, lots and lots of our commonly used medicines actually are derived from lots of common garden plants.
Now, they will die back. And what do we do? Do we leave them in the ground or do we dig them up?
It all depends. Everyone has their own sort of idea with what to do with them. What will happen in the next couple of weeks? We're going to have a bit of a frost. Well, it will already not happen even in the next few nights. When they get frosted, unfortunately, the foliage is very tender and they'll get blackened very, very fast. And what you do at that point is you either dig up the tubers and put them into the garage and kind of dry them off. But that's an awful rigmarole. What we like to do here down in the garden where I work is actually leave a lot of them in the ground, cut them down to about 15 centimetres from the ground, get loads of dried leaves. At the moment, everyone is picking up the leaves in their garden and sending them out to be composted, but keep a few in a bag, put the dried leaves over the dahlia and then cover it over. We have these lovely things called bell cloches, but even, you know, a bucket or something like that to just protect them from the wet. So it's all about protecting them from the wet and the cold. It's like a blanket insulation with the leaves. And then the bucket will act as an umbrella, basically.
I should have mentioned, of course, Paul, you're the head gardener at the Royal Horticultural Society of Ireland garden in Belfield in Shinrone in County Offaly.
Yeah.
How big a garden is that?
We have a 1.8-acre walled garden, and I guess it was originally designed as an ornament or as a productive space. So, you know, to grow fruit and veg, we now have it set out as an ornamental garden. And we've got another 4 acres of, I suppose, woodland around us. And then we've got nearly 30 acres here in total of pasture, small bit of even bogland and places like that. So it's a lovely place that we're in the process of getting open more and more to the public is what we're at here.
Now, the questions, Paul. My Bramley apples are rotting on the trees for the second year in a row. They rot on the ground when they fall as well. They're too high to prune because the tree is 25 years old. Is there any hope for my apples from breed?
Too high to prune. I would say you should get someone in to prune that if it's too high for you to do it yourself. It could be there's a couple of things that eat them and a brown rot that comes in Bramley apples. Number one thing is as they rot, if they do continue to do that, get rid of them. Do not leave them on the ground because that will really continue the cycle of whatever it is, be it a pest or be it a fungus or a bacteria. So take away the rotten apples. And I would try get that tree pruned because you'll get a far better crop and maybe give it a bit of a feed as well. Clear around the base of it and mulch it with some good quality farmyard manure and that will really help it on its way.
My summer bedding plants are nearly dying off my balcony, which is quite sheltered from rain and snow. It gets sun in the morning. What can I put in my hanging pots that will give me some autumn and winter colour?
Yeah, it's perfect time of year. I mean, everyone's looking at the pots now as they start to get a little bit over and tired. You can look at putting things in them like the cyclamen that are in the garden centres at the moment. particularly when in the garden centres, aren't really that hardy. And if we have a very, very cold frost, they will kind of suffer and look horrible. But it sounds like you have a very sheltered balcony there. So it sounds like a perfect place to put out a few of these kind of cyclamen, even violas. You can get small evergreens and things as well. And I know it's not the most attractive thing, but an ivy plant in a pot this time of year, it's an evergreen, lasts for a long time, and it will give you evergreen interest as well.
You mentioned cyclamens there. Can you tell me if I can feed my cyclamen indoor plant with Westland all-purpose plant food over the autumn and winter? Do I have to deadhead them to get more flowers? That's from Rosie in Longford.
Yeah, Rosie, definitely deadhead them. Deadheading any plant is beneficial. It will just prolong the flowering. It will increase and encourage it to flower more. Feeding isn't as important. We're coming into a kind of time of year where things are slowing down. Plants have stopped actively growing. You can really feel the nip in the air the last couple of mornings. And the daylight is really, really getting short. So plants are not really actively growing. So the feeding is less important. A little bit of feed maybe once a month, but certainly deadhead them and the feed kind of slow down on a bit.
I have a Cotonia aster in my garden, just planted in June, but the leaves are starting to go red and orange. It says it's semi-evergreen, so is that colour change normal?
Yep, that's absolutely what you'd expect. Semi-evergreens are plants that are basically properly evergreen unless we have a very cold winter. And so far, we haven't really even had a frost. Maybe if we have a very, very cold winter, they will lose their leaves. But a semi-evergreen tends to change colour. And then as a kind of new spring comes, some new growth will come out and those leaves may even turn back green. So there's nothing to worry about. That's totally what I expect to do with that.
I have a rose bush that flowered this year, but it didn't look great. What do I do over the winter to help this plant?
I've had a good few this year. It's been a bad year. I planted some new roses and they're just not doing anything. Over the winter, there's not a lot you need to do with your rose bush. Although, like I said, with the apple trees, get rid of those leaves if they are falling off and sitting on the ground. That will overwinter lots of pests and diseases. And roses are so susceptible, as lots of people know, to black spot. The black spot spores will actually just overwinter on the ground. So get rid of all of the leaves around the base of the rose. Maybe mulch it with a little bit of farmyard manure. It's no harm. I'm a great believer in mulching plants, putting a layer of maybe 5 centimetres or so of a good composted farmyard manure that you can buy in bags in the garden centre now. And then look at pruning it in the spring, but really wait until about February, March time before you think about pruning. You don't want to go anywhere near with the pruner until then.
I have a lovely pink hydrangea, north facing, that has recently finished flowering. Should I cut it back or leave it? I would love the same lovely blooms next year. That's from Fiona in Cork.
Was it pink, they said, Pat?
Hydrangea.
Yeah, so a pink hydrangea is probably the old-fashioned type hydrangeas that I say that everyone's granny had in their garden. My granny certainly had them in her garden. They're the old mophead hydrangeas, big, huge flowers on them. They're pink if you have an alkaline soil. If you have, like they have over the west of Ireland, slightly more acidic soils, they go that bluey colour. So when it comes to pruning them, the best thing to do is not really touch them until the springtime comes. You want to leave the flower heads on them now because they're actually protecting the foliage underneath. And even if they put a little bit of growth on over the winter, it'll protect that foliage. So I would say prune it. And all you need to do is really take off the old flower spent heads. You can take maybe a third of the growth away if it's getting a bit big. But if you prune it too hard, it flowers on growth made in the previous year. So if you prune it hard, you will lose the flowers next year. So try go easy on the pruning if you want a beautiful display of flowers next year.
Next one, a young damson tree in the ground over 2 years. The first year, loads of beautiful blossom, no fruit. Second year, no blossom, no fruit. I was led to believe it was self-fertile and when and how to prune it. That's from Penny.
Right. So stone fruits, so the like of damson, plums, even apricots and peaches, although you'll be growing them indoors, they all need to be pruned in the summertime because they suffer from silverleaf bacterial infections if you prune them in the winter. So go easy on the pruning or don't prune them at all in the winter. The fact that it isn't fruiting for you, I know it's an absolute pain, but a lot of fruit trees take a year or two to sort of settle in. And damsons and plums are notorious for having kind of on-off years. So they'll have 1 year, a very heavy crop. The following year, they may not have anything at all. Sounds like the first year they had a flower. And if they flower, because they flower early, the frost can actually kill the flowers and not allow the fruit to set. So it's probably what happened last year. This year, you just had an unlucky year off. So hopefully next year, if you have a nice display of blooms and then not too early a frost, you'll have a great crop of the damsons. So just persist with it, I would say.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.